Good evening, everybody. We've been sitting together one-to-one, either for a little bit of time or for many years. It must mean something. It must be about something. And I know that every week in our Sangha for 9 years, I try to say something, to help our lives. You know, so next year will be our 10th year together as a Sangha. And I will have given something like 500 talks. The question is, have I said anything? And if I've said anything, have you heard anything? Because my talking is completely involved in your listening. Your hearing is completely involved in my talking. I hope so. I hope something has been said between us. You know, something that isn't the words. Something that matters. When I was driving here, I remembered that my son Ty just finished up one of his sports camps, a soccer camp. And last thing that happened was that the coach, who was the coach of the national team of some other nation, the kids are very lucky. Every summer they get to work with another professional coach from national teams around the world. He said, the most important thing I hope you've gotten this week is that you're always playing soccer. That it isn't that you play soccer after the whistle blows, but when you're goofing around, you're not. Or when you're having your lunch, you're not. You're always doing it. And if you approach your game knowing that you do it the same way again and again and again, you'll see remarkable results. And that was an amazing thing to tell a bunch of teenagers. Do the same thing again and again and again, completely, 100%, holding nothing back, and knowing that you're doing that. And you will see something. And then the coach who trains them, the kids, all year here on Salt Spring, a wonderful man named Robert, whose daughter played in the Olympics for Canada, he said to them, I wonder if you know how lucky you are to have this opportunity to be with this wonderful man. And of course they don't. But somewhere they do, because they were treated with this great respect. He didn't say, I'm training 13-year-old soccer players. He said, I'm training soccer players. So it was pretty good. And reminded me of our practice, where we do the same thing. We say again and again and again, but actually every time is the only time. But if we give ourselves to it completely, each time, that's it. That's the whole life right there. I started our zazen today by talking about our own wholeness and our own happiness. And I'm very aware that in the last couple of weeks I've been talking about how to understand this idea of no preference. No preference being what I said last week, the radical acceptance of what is, what actually is. And how when we can actually do that, that's part of what's meant by no preference. But another word for no preference is wholeness. That's actually our wholeness. When we are right there completely in the moment, having practiced being right there completely in the moment, again and again and again, each moment, brand new, each moment, we do it exactly, completely, 100%, then no preference is happiness, is wholeness. They're not separate. Usually we think that a sense of wholeness or completion of the self or happiness is involved in getting what we want. That's our usual way. You know, if only I could have Bill, I would be so happy. If only I could have money or fame or something, I could be so happy. If only everybody would realize how great I really am, I would be really happy. And that would make me really feel whole. But you see the fallacy, right? It takes a condition in order for us to feel this wholeness of ourselves. So we say, yes, if you could get something you want, you're happy. But we know that's not true. Because as soon as we have it, we want something else. We want to be on a roll. We want to have 2 things. Or 100. So we're always in the state of wanting. Of lacking. Of being defined by the outside. And this is the quickest route to unhappiness. Whereas when we accept what we have, completely, whatever our situation is, that's an opportunity for our wholeness to emerge right there. To merge with what is right there. To be with what is right there. Nothing is lacking. That's an opportunity for us to practice 100%-ness, wholeness, no preference, which is happiness. In Zen, we don't talk about happiness very much. But I think that we should be honest and admit we want to be happy. We do want that. But why do we want it? Because it feels good? Yeah, it feels good. But after a while, if it feeling good, you will forget you're happy. You'll become unhappy. So maybe there's some other relationship to happiness that's important for us to explore. When we can be completely with one breath, where nothing is left out, as whole can be, naturally, as soon as we, quote, have it, we want to give it away. We give ourselves to what's in front of us, to our breath, for example. We do it, and right away, our heart is completely open. Because there's nothing to close it. And instantly, we see how naturally we are bodhisattvas. How naturally we want to help other beings. How naturally we don't want to cause harm. We don't save it for ourselves. We don't have a happiness bank account. We are we are completely that, and something happens inside of us. But it is so difficult to have that one moment, isn't it? Were you able to tonight? One moment? One moment. Never mind 1 minute, one life, one moment. It's a great test when we try to just to give ourselves completely to one moment, to see how close are we really to ourselves? How much in sync? How integrated are we really? And to practice it again and again and again with our breath is to learn how to do it. I love this practice so much because it's so simple. So very, very simple. Give yourself right now, in this moment, to your breath. Give yourself completely away to it. In, out. No problem. No issues to resolve. No processing to go through. And then we see ourselves make the effort to do it. And we sometimes may succeed and sometimes we don't succeed, but at least we see what it takes to be completely here. Completely here. And we can gauge where we are in relationship to our own wholeness. And then when something else happens besides our breath, we know we have to go further, deeper, do more than we even think we have to really be there. To really be there for someone, for example, with an open heart, with a willing spirit. And when we can, our happiness, right, our wholeness, is transformative. Completely transformative for us and for whoever is around us or whoever we're trying to be with. To really see them and hear them and help them. So it turns out that happiness is a very serious subject. Happiness is very serious indeed. I want to say, and I don't know how to do it really, but that we can know that our life is truly worthwhile. Really worthwhile through our practice and through our extending practice outside of the Zendo into the world. And even when we fall down, it's okay. And even when we stumble, it's okay. And even when we fail completely, it's okay. And even when we act completely opposite to everything we hoped we would be, it's still okay. As long as we remember what we're trying to do. I've talked a number of times about, you know, the tape that runs in our head, which, you know, I've likened to the title of a movie on the marquee. You know, I call it the Me Show. And I encourage you not to go in and watch it again, because you know how it turns out. But I was thinking that maybe that's also another, there's something useful about that image. And that if instead of the name on the marquee being the Me Show, what if it's some simple word that reminds us of our vow. So that no matter what we're doing, we have a reminder of what we're doing. So that even when we stumble or fall or fail or, you know, any of that stuff, we remember, I'm trying to go in this direction. This is what I'm trying to do. And we can quickly pick ourselves up again. And what it is that picks us up when we have that reminder is happiness, is wholeness, is completeness. From inside of us, it picks us up. I guess that we're very similar, so you probably need a lot of reminders, because I know I do. I don't actually know anyone who doesn't. Even or especially the, you know, the people who look just perfect in the Zendo. They may be in deep trouble. Well, we don't know, because they're not telling us. They're just looking good. Perfect Zen students, perfect Zen practitioners. I guess I wanted to ask tonight for you to take up the issue of happiness seriously, to really ask yourself about it. Is it really possible to be quite happy and still be at odds with yourself and the world? And what is the quickest and the most true, authentic is the word I'm looking for. What is the most authentic path to resolve that problem? What does it really take? And answer it for yourselves. What does it really take? We don't have so long in this life. We think we do, but we don't. So please don't waste time on frivolous things. Enjoy yourselves and everything. But spend your time on the serious issue of wholeness and happiness. Because we all need for that to be done. The world needs it desperately. And wouldn't it be wonderful if it was you? Because it can be. You know, I've said to you many times, it's not going to depend upon some special people. We're the people. Did you read today that they discovered at the edge of our galaxy a sun 250 times larger than our sun, with something like 40,000 times more power? Don't think you know your limit. Your limit is unfathomable. There's always more of you than you think. So call on it. Use it well.